As far as sideband, I don't know. I think you would have to use the power, the Flex Radio program. I'm pretty sure it works in all modes, though I just don't use it that way. And you are confined to 48 kilohertz bandwidth unless you change the crystal or you have some means of changing the frequency, the reference frequency. I just ordered it's a programmable oscillator which you can tune, which you can program for any frequency. Actually, in the, I think from DC up to gigahertz. So, but yeah, I'm still trying to find an interface in order to interface it with the soft rock program. Let me drop it. There's a lot of information. If you go to Yahoo Groups and search for the Soft Rock 40. I built two of the transceiver kits and the one receiver kit, the original Soft Rock 40. That's the one that plugs into the USB port. It only plugs into there for power, though, only for the 5 watts. And then you just hook up an audio cable into your sound card. And it's a quadrature detection. The sound is though upset by 90 degrees. And then it goes through analog to digital converters through your sound card, and then it's all kinds of complicated algorithms and everything else that pick the signal out of the noise. But it's a fantastic radio. I'm using mine. It's only got 1 watt output, and I'm working all over the country with it. So I don't know if I answered any questions, but that website will answer a lot of questions. Just look up Soft Rock 40. And in the Yahoo groups. Back to that.
Go ahead, Charlie.
Yeah, I think I recognize the name Tony Parks. I think he's retired, but he developed this and he's been kidding out the boards. And I hope he doesn't get tired of it anytime soon. That's what you always got to worry about with these neat little kits that are on the bleeding edge of amateur radio and kind of like where I envision it going, you know. Sure, there's the multi-$1,000 Flex radio thing, but, you know, what can I get my hands on today to maybe play with it? And that's exactly what I was going to do. I had heard about the Yahoo groups, and I browsed around, and I'd seen the Rocky program, and I actually found the guy's website that developed that for a different program. I was trying to do grid square calculations, and if anybody knows a good, type in my grid square, type in the other guy's grid square, and get a beam heading program for Windows. That would be great. That guy's program doesn't work too great. It's called DX Atlas, the same guy that makes the Rocky program. But Dave, I don't know if you've got a laptop or anything and set up and. If you can get out to one of the Barra meetings on time and bring that thing along, I think it would be real neat to show a lot of the guys and gals. So, yeah, thanks. I think that's it for the software-defined radio. Unless anybody has any other comments, N3CRT.
Okay. I guess not. That's pretty interesting. That would be very good. You know, if people were running around with 1 watt transceivers that could be hooked up to a laptop, or even something even smaller that has the capability of running standard software in a reasonable platform through a USB port into one of these beasts, you could for the first time have people, you could have people wandering around ham fests on, you know, 20 meters or 10 meters. That'd be kind of fun. a laptop in your pack and a headset. You know, the backpack wire. The HF pack people would have a lot of fun with that because your radio would be really, really tiny. Pardon me. Reasonably efficient. Excuse me, I'm fighting off a little fatigue from the recent illness here. All right, before we go to another subject, which I'm going to bring up in a second, it's a bit of a poll, so I need people to pay attention. I'm wondering if there's anybody else who has anything that they wanted to add to the subject before we move on. This is KGBAR.
This is W2MSK.
Mr. Mitch, how are you? W2MSK. KGBAR, go ahead.
Good evening, Gordon, everybody on the net. Usually lurk in the background. I'm just curious on that SoftBlock radio. I thought that was a receiver kit. It has a transmitter also. Maybe somebody can clarify for that.
Apparently there is one floating around, but I did not see it on the website.
Right, exactly. I'm on the website and I see it as a receiver kit, so I just was curious once again whether there's a transmitter that goes with it.
I think it piggybacks onto the receiver board, and you have your own little transceiver in a pocket, and it's kind of neat.
J1W.
Hi, Dave.
If you're at that website that I mentioned, the Yahoo group says SoftRock 40, right on the homepage for that site, you'll see a thing that says announcements. And for the announcements for December 24, 2007, it says SoftRock kits available. And there's kits available. There's transceiver kits for 40 and 80. That's, you'll have two bands on and for one kit. There's another kit for 20, 40, one for 30, 20, and I think they're working on one now for 10 meters. There's a bunch of just receiver kits, and the prices range for the receiver kits around $10. The transceiver kits are about $36, around that, from 30 to 36. I think there's a 160 meter kit too. So there's a number of kits available, and there's they keep upgrading them, and there's different versions. But if you go to that site, you can get all the information you want, and you can do a search on this site because there's a lot of members to it, and there's a lot of new emails coming in every day. Back to net.
Isn't that cool? Very cool. Yes, you have the RXTX. And away you go. That's very cool. Well, I think we have our answer. Mr. Mitch, you satisfied?
Oh, yeah. Thanks for the information. I appreciate it. W2MSK.
Look at NJ1W on QRZ.com. I have a picture of mine on that page.
Seaver?
The transceiver, in fact, it's got it's two versions of it. It's the 6.1 for 40 and 80, and the 6.2 for 20 and 30. And I also have a homebrew keyer installed in a case, and I have it shown on that page.
Oh, I see how they do this. They're using the same oscillator, and they're just, you know, getting double duty out of it. Or I guess they're doing something similar for... pardon me. For 30 and 20. That's very cool. Alrighty. Definitely a 10-meter one's in order because we have all these technicians who get them on immediately and get them working through this stuff, and that'll make them want to upgrade to do other things. So, $30 HF rig, I mean, how good is that? Get yourself an antenna and away you go. Alrighty. Any lasties on this subject? This is K2BAR.
K.
KC2AWS.
Go ahead, Harvey.
On page 35 of the March issue of QST, they have it says portable PSK has finally arrived. It's a module that plugs in to your data port on the 817 and the keyboard plugs into it, and it's portable. It has a LCD readout on it, and the write-up is quite nice. Costs about $100, no, $199 with shipping. So it's cheaper than buying a laptop, and it's portable. Now I have a portable 10-meter antenna and a 817. When this comes in, I can travel and be on PSK 31 on 10. So I think it's a neat little deal. And I just want to know, anyone have a comment about this unit? KC2AWS.
Oh, I did see it, and that is kind of neat because it's got its own display. It only requires you plug in the keyboard of your choice, you know, your PC keyboard, and it plugs into the data port of any number, including the 817. So I think it's just, you know, for what you're trying to do, it's just spiffy, as they say. So I think that's pretty neat. Of course, there are a couple other solutions along that same line. If you do have a computer, that are real simple USB to analog interfaces, also control the rig and frequency and other modes, other operations of the radio. So, you know, we have a wealth of things. We have the soft rock approach, we have what you just talked about, and we have the full-blown approach. And, you know, depending on what you have sitting around, you can do a lot of ham radio for very little money. And I think that's really kind of cool. The options today are just boundless and endless. Thank you for reminding us, Harvey.
I thank you. And what I like about it is it's portable. And I've been thinking about having one of these boxes like you designed where I could put it in with this module and a spare battery on the side, and I'd be in business. I could travel all over. So it seems like a nice little unit, and it's all portable. And don't have to have a computer to drag around with you, and it seems to be nice during the summer. I could sit outside at my picnic table and transmit. All right. Good evening to everyone on the net. KC2AWS.
Okay, very good. All right, here's my question for the night. I'm wondering just if someone was going to ask you to do a public service event or a, what do you call it, it's some sort of emergency, what identifying garments you might have. And they could be anything from a Barra hat to a Barra jacket to another club's hat. I'm kind of curious what colors they are if they're not Barra. I'm wondering if you have safety vests, or a radio vest that has stuff in it, whether you bought the 8RL ones, whether it's the lime one or the orange one, but you have something else totally. I'm just kind of curious what you have there. Also, what kind of headgear you have, whether they're hats, whether they're helmets. They could be the CERT helmets. They could be I have an orange hat from the New York City Marathon. I'm just trying to get a sense for what people have already and what colors they are. Because when we respond to events or show up at events, I'm always kind of curious as to how we can look, like a coherent unit. So I'm just kind of curious about that. So I think what I'll do is I'll go through the list. I think that's probably the safest way to do this, and we'll see how that works. Any questions before I start asking specifically? This is KGBAR. him, NJ1W. He was just there. NS2K.
NS2K. If, tell you what, I've got sleeves of Bera hats. If anybody would ever like one, I don't know what the price is supposed to be on them, but I have lots. I have a dual weight red and black shell with a liner with call sign and name and that sort of thing on it. That I am commonly wearing at this point. I don't know. There are a few other things. Also, I don't remember the name of the color of the hat that I've got. I think it might be black with call and name on it as well.
What, no orange marathon hat?
Oh, I have lots of marathon hats and jackets and assorted things. No specific... they may say something about communicator or marathon or whatever on it, but as far as anything specific, it's not.
No, I understand. I have my collection of marathon hats as well. So yes, I understand. They say amateur radio emergency communications. I think they don't even say anything else. I think that was one of those things that Steve was smart enough years ago not to put the New York City Marathon on the hands hat, so we would have something more usable. So yes, you have a marathon hat, so I'll just put NYCM hat. Alrighty. Mr. N3CRT.
I got nothing.
Okay. KF2ID is signed, and let's see. KC2KXV.
Unfortunately, Gordon, I don't have anything either.
That's fine. I'm just kind of curious as to what people have. KC2PYV, you probably have a closet full of stuff.
Well, I've got a few things. I have a regular ball cap. It's dark blue with my call sign on it. Depending upon the time of year, I've got a red, I think they call them golf shirts, with my call sign and the ARRL insignia on it. And I know in my trunk of my car, I have an old orange turnout coat from the city and a blue construction helmet, which we use here for the confined space rescue veteran.
Okay, but it's a hard hat, not a... Is it a hard hat, or is it something more storied?
It's not a bump hat. It's a construction hat. This hat, you know, okay, you can... is OSHA approved to be worn on a construction site.
Okay, but it's a hard hat, not like a climbing or rappelling helmet.
Yeah, that's correct. It's a hard hat. It's not a climbing helmet.
Okay. Yeah. Not a problem. I understand. Or the what I'll call the SAR helmets. All right. K2AMI, you must have a few things.
Any ball caps? I got these ball caps with call signs on, with Barra logos and pins on. I've got emergency hat that's orange that looks like something that came from possibly the marathon. I have a Barra jacket that has a Bergen Amateur Radio Association on the back of it, a call sign on the front. It's a dark blue. And I guess that's about it for those. Over to you.
K2KCL repeater.
Okay, very good. W2DTA.
I joined the ranks of something also.
Not a problem. K2BDU. Okay, W2JEK.
W2JEK, I have a Barra hat. I also have a call sign badge that I clip on my shirt, so it makes for better identification. That's about it at this point.
Okay, and the bat hat's the standard white and blue one that we've seen for 1,000 years?
That's a roger.
And NS2K, these are the ones you have 1,000 of?
That's the standard blue bearer hat.
Okay, so noted. Okay. Alrighty. KC2AWX. Your pleasure.
Well, I got a wealth of junk. Let's see. I got a bearer hat. A hat from the Furlong Club. I got a ICOM hat and a Yaesu hat. And I've got two baseball caps that have my call sign on. And I have a orange vest from the league. And I think that's sufficient enough. And I've got a whistle somewhere that I can blow if something happens. KC2AWX.
Okay, just to be clear, you got the Fairlawn hat, you got the Bearer hat, you got the call sign hats, you got a couple other ham radio hats that are not call sign based. You have the orange Aries vest from the league, which is kind of cool. I've seen that one. And last but not least, do you have a New York City Marathon orange hat?
No, don't have anything like that. If someone wants to send me one, I'll accept it.
I know where there's some. Okay, very good. Alrighty. WA2CAI. I think he has fallen asleep. W2MSK.
He didn't give me enough time to find the radio.
Okay, he found the radio. WA2CAI.
And yes, I fell asleep. Good evening, gentlemen.
Answer the question.
What's the question? I've been asleep.
Oh, jeez. All right. We were wondering what you had in the way of amateur radio apparel that would make you readily identifiable at a public service event. And I'm just trying to get a sense for what people have. You know, whether it's hats, jackets, helmets, those are the things, or vests. Those are the things I was looking for.
I've got a few orange vests. And a couple of orange search and rescue hats, a couple of orange hard hats, one of which has a communicator rockers on it. But that's about it.
Okay, so my wife called right in the middle of that and curious about where our older two sons are. One is picking up the other. Anyway. All right, so you've got some vests, and I missed the rest.
That's about it. Orange hat, search and rescue, pair of those. Odds and ends like that.
All right, orange vests, orange hats, orange helmet. Yeah, okay, I gotcha. I know why you have orange. We won't go there. We'll spare you that rant this time. Okay. All right. W2MSK, W2TTT.
Not much here, Gordon. Maybe a shirt or two with my call sign, or a hat, but that's about it. Back to you.
Okay, not a problem. I see you have shirts and hats with your call sign on them, but they're just generic. Okay, not a problem. I think we all have a bunch of those. Yeah, my collection is kind of a potpourri of things. I've got let's see, what do I have? I have a bunch of those orange hats, God only knows. I think somewhere, I think my Barra hat from about a dozen years ago finally fell apart about a year or two ago, so I gently disposed of that. I have some orange vests. Do I have an orange vest? I don't think I have. Well, I don't have an orange vest right now. Maybe I do. I have a cert vest, which is green, and then I have some really light lime green ones, but those aren't for my use. I use those to keep my scouts safe, frankly, when they're doing things that might be, you know, I need to be able to spot them, and they're not in orange t-shirt mode. I give them these lime green vests so I can find them in a crowd. All right. And then helmets and headgear. I've got a red helmet I have a green cert helmet, and I'm probably going to pick up a new climbing helmet because my red climbing helmet is reaching the end of its mandatory service life. And like that there. Okay. So the things I hear most are, don't surprise, are Barra hats, a lot of miscellaneous stuff, and I hear orange marathon hats. I think those are the two things I hear. The bat and the Barra hats I hear about equal numbers. That's what I kind of figured I would hear. All right. That's good, because we're looking for figuring out how we can, you know, make, you know, event communicators be easily identifiable. And I'm thinking that the way we do it, rather than requiring everybody to go out and get stuff, is just get something orange onto it or wear something orange. I think that's going to be the key point. I think that's kind of where we're going. So you can add on your something. You could, there are ways we can do it, but that's kind of what I'm thinking. But I'm looking for more input. And this crosses Barra as well, as you can imagine. Not that it's the Barra question. All right. Any comments on the subject, please call K2BAR.
W2JK.
Mr. Don.
Yeah. Well, the vest, if you're doing traffic control, I used to be in the police reserve, and the vest is a godsend in some situation like that, because I've been in a police car racing down the road with the lights and the siren blaring, and people just don't see or hear you. And, you know, every little bit helps with as far as the vest goes in some kind of a situation where you're directing traffic. So I don't know that our guys should be doing that, but that's a lot to keep in mind. Back to that.
Yeah, I would generally agree, unless they got some formal OEM training and they're doing it in the context of OEM, I don't think they should be doing it either. I'm more concerned about keeping them from running, getting run over while in traffic. I think that's, and also make them identifiable in the crowd. Just for reference, the ANSI Class 2 high visibility vest is like $20 from the league with the Aries logo on it, which is just fine, you know, orange. I think that makes better sense. Around here, we have too many crossing guards and police wearing the either the yellow or the blue, and I just don't think we want to get mixed up with that. And so I stay away from the lime yellow and the blue, because both are used by police officers and occasionally EMS, but as alluded to by Richard pointed out with his blue helmet. Alrighty. Anybody else? K2BAR. Okay. I mean, it could be something as simple, by the way, as taking something orange and adding it to what you have, you know. Orange reflective stickers, I mean, something, so we can find you. I think that's going to be the goal here, but I'll hold off on that decision for a couple more weeks. Just a reminder that the Aries Net is the second Monday of each month. And that puts us out, I guess, to about the 10th of the month or something, 11th, something like that, 11th, 12th, something like that of March. And I don't know when the Red Cross Net is. The Red Cross Net is a closed net. You may listen, but you can't enter into the net. The County Aries Net, you can at 7:30. And the Northern Jersey Section one, you can enter on 8 o'clock after the station appointments have all checked in. That'll be Monday the 10th. Pardon me. Okay. So, this has been a rather productive net tonight. Any other topics people want to introduce? This is K2BAR.
K2GCL repeater.
Okay. Well, very good. FYI, I have found a source of climbing helmets, which for my purposes is something useful as well, but also offers, they look like hard hats, but they're just a little more protection than the super light hard hats that the CERT guys get, or even heavier or more substantial, if you will, and more comfortable than the one that Richard mentions he has. found a Bullard Advent A2 helmet, if you're so inclined, for the wonderful price of $75, which for me does wonders because I've seen them as high as $120. And it's got a chin strap that actually will keep it on your head, unlike most hard hats, which they have a single strap, which may or may not be there. So that's a good thing as well. But I think the ARRL's vest, as Don suggested, you know, something orange, the NC Class 2 that the ARRL sells is just fine for basic use. It's like $20, and I think it would make a good addition to your go kits. Something to think about. Maybe put that in your, have less coffee or something and put a few dollars away for a couple of weeks, and pretty soon you have enough money saved away to go get yourself a nice orange vest. And it's got some internal pockets too, by the way, which I think is very nice. Velcro closure in the front. And make sure you get it in a size that's horrendously large for you so that you can put it over like your winter parka. So, and it'll be nice and cool in the summertime for you too. So, anything else before we close? This is K2BAR. Okay, well, this station wishes to thank WITW, NJ1W, NS2K, N3CRT, KF2ID, KC2KXV, KC2PYB, K2AMI, W2DTA, K2BDU, W2JEK, KC2AWX, WA2CAI, W2MSK, and your ever-popular host, W2TTT. Is finding station clear. This is K2BAR, a trainer repeater to normal amateur use, and thanking the Bergen County FM Association for the use of the repeater and encouraging people to show up at their meeting Sunday night at the Red Cross Building to maybe join and support the repeater. Thank you. This is W2TTT K2BAR. Clear.